In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yesterday, the church, and we with her, of course, celebrated the feast of St. James the Elder. You remember the Apostle James, part of the inner circle, together with Peter and James' own brother John, the son of Zebedee, who together with his brother wanted Jesus to grant them a position of glory in his kingdom once he had suffered his crucifixion. But do you recall the nickname that Jesus gave these two brothers, as St. Mark records it in chapter 3? Sons of Thunder. Did this have to do with the mighty gospel, as Eusebius and Basil interpret it? Or was it due to their forceful character, like when they wanted to call down fire from heaven upon the Samaritans who rejected Jesus in Luke chapter 9, a thing for which Christ had to rebuke them publicly? Whatever the case, we do see in St. James the Elder and his brother John precisely what our Lord treats in the parable of the wheat and the weeds that we have before us today. The kingdom of Christ does not come by a rash and forceful theology of glory, a zealous elimination of evil in the world and even in the church, resulting in some utopian, sin-free existence. Just as Jesus rebuked James and John for wanting to destroy those who rejected him in Samaria, so when the servants ask the master if he wants to have them immediately gather the weeds that the enemy has sown, he says, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." Of all that our Savior has packed into this parable, these are the words that strike the ear and stand out. Jesus teaches in this parable about the kingdom of heaven, about both its temporal and its eschatological existence. We don't have to look for just a single point of comparison, leaving untouched all the other details, as is often the case in parables. Jesus gives us a detailed explanation of every part. But all the details of this parable, of all of them, it is the master's ooh, no. His no, don't pull the weeds out yet. No, don't attempt to purge the world or even the church of every evil, together with his why that teaches us most about the kingdom, that teaches us about Christ's patient dealing with sin and unbelief. We are very much like James and John and the servants in the parable. In our zeal for the kingdom, and too often in our sinful self-righteousness, we are too quick to judge and condemn to hell those who don't measure up to our expectations. A pietist lives in each of us. A pietist who likes to call down fire and brimstone on the evil in the world and on the evil in the church. It's not bad enough that when Christ sows the word of the gospel, then the devil himself goes about sowing the evil weeds of sin and unbelief, or as Luther puts it in several places, where God erects a church, the devil builds a chapel next door. No, what's worse is when we Christians, supposedly in the name of Christ, effectively become Satan's henchmen and try to purify the church ourselves, sinfully judging and condemning those around us for whatever perceived sin and weakness we think we have uncovered in their lives. We should never attempt to seek out every hypocrite, to purge them from our midst. That's not the church's task. That's not our job. But our self-righteous flesh certainly relishes in it. No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them, let both grow together until the harvest. In his annotations on this text, Luther notes two reasons for Christ's patient dealing with sin and unbelief. First, there are people in the world, even in the congregation, who are not yet converted. Second, if we refuse to endure any weeds, then we must uproot the entire church. Thus, there would be no church, and where would we be with our sins and our doubts? Consider, dear Christian, what if the next time you fell into sin, a brother or sister looked at you and decided you were nothing but an evil weed and gathered you up and cast you into the fire? There is law in our text, certainly. The weeds, evil, sin, unbelief, will be gathered up in bundles and thrown into the fiery furnace of hell on the last day. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the greater word in our text is the gospel, Christ's patient dealing with sin and unbelief in our midst. It is for the sake of believers, for the sake of the sons of the kingdom, that Christ wishes to leave the weeds among the wheat for now. And we understand our Savior's benevolent concern all the better when we know that this weed looked a lot like the wheat in its early stages. The workers simply are not qualified, not able, only to pull out the weeds without even once accidentally pulling up wheat or harming it in any way. As with many weeds, its roots spread out and intertwine themselves with the plants around them. The point of this parable is that the precious faith of God's least in the kingdom of heaven is so very important that Christ will not allow anything to be done that might jeopardize the weak or the future Christian salvation and eternal life. Christ won't let anything happen to jeopardize you. And in this sense, this parable is all about forgiveness. This becomes clear when we consider our text as God had it recorded in the Greek. In verse 30, Jesus says, "Let both grow together until the harvest." Permit to grow together both. Allow to grow side by side both the wheat and the weeds. Forgive to grow together both. The word "let" in the Greek is the same word that Jesus spoke one last time from the cross before he falls into the earth in death like a grain of wheat for the sake of his precious field. Forgive. Father, forgive them. The whole purpose of God's loving forbearance, of Christ's patient dealing with sin and unbelief, is so that he might be able to forgive sins sooner or later, hopefully sooner. What God wants more than anything else is to forgive you all your sins, all your bad fruit, all your overzealous judging, all your evil. And Christ has in the cross and does in the Holy Supper, where he gives you the wheat of his body to strengthen you as sons of the kingdom, his precious wheat. Then shall come to pass what our text says in the last verse. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Those who are declared righteous through faith in Christ alone, you shall be restored to the full image and likeness of Christ, your dear Savior. Just as he shines in the fullness of his heavenly glory, in all holiness and righteousness, so shall you be made perfect wheat, reflecting the very glory of God himself. All evil weediness forever purged from you. But until that day, you are hidden in this weedy world. Your true life, though, is hidden with Christ in God, safe and secure, under the divine master's patient, vigilant care. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, and let him rejoice and marvel at Christ's patient dealing with our sin and unbelief. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.